from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in History, My Indonesia, News in Brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is the news read by Andika. First, the headlines. Indonesia interested to invest in pharmaceutical sector in Cambodia. Indonesia and Cambodia develop sister temple cooperation between Borobudur Temple and Angkor Wat. Now the news in detail. Cambodia is one of the countries in Southeast Asia that has huge potential in various sectors, including pharmaceutical industry or medicine. Therefore, the Indonesian government through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs wants to the support from Cambodian government to make Indonesia pharmaceutical companies interested in investing in Cambodia. This was conveyed by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in her press conference after holding a meeting with the Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation on Cambodia, Prak Sohun, in Jakarta on last Friday.
Indonesia looks forward to explore the opportunity to fulfill the need of Cambodia market for pharmaceutical product and seeking the support of the Cambodia government for the Indonesian companies who wish to invest on the pharmaceutical industries.
So far, several Indonesian companies have marketed their products to Cambodia. One of them is PT Parpros that has been marketing its products since 2014. Cambodia is one of the trading partners for Indonesia in Southeast Asia, which posted positive growth trading from year to year. In January to November 2017, trading value of both countries reached up to $592.75. The figure exceeded the previous trading value that only reached $400.1. Indonesia and Cambodia agreed to enhance tourism and cultural cooperation. One form of the cooperation is realized through sister temple cooperation between Borobudur Temple in Magelang, Central Java, and Angkor Wat in Angkor, Cambodia. In addition, Indonesia and Cambodia in 2018 are also planning to develop a diplomatic training institute in Cambodia. This was conveyed by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in her press conference after a meeting with the Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation of Cambodia, Prak Sohun, in Jakarta on last Friday.
On cultural cooperation, we agreed to further implement the existing agreement on cultural cooperation, including to promote sister temple cooperation between Angkor Wat and Candi Borobudur. And we agreed also to start the cooperation in developing the Institute of Diplomatic Training in Cambodia.
Minister Retno Marsudi hopes that in connection with the cooperation of developing a diplomatic training institute in Cambodia, her ministry expects for a visit from the director of the institute to Indonesia to discuss the programs to be undertaken by the institute in the future. The cause of law enforcement handled by the Corruption Eradication Commission in dealing with corruption cases is very expensive. Therefore, the commission is expected to be merged with other commissions so that the performance system can be standardized and more effective. This was affirmed by Deputy Speaker of the House of Representatives, Fahri Hamzah, at the Parliament Building in Jakarta on last Friday to media.
Sebaiknya kita segera mengintegrasi.
We should integrate the Corruption Eradication Commission with the prevention system. Let the law enforcement done by the police and the prosecutor. Our prevention system is actually relative. It is a prevention that has power as well, especially in service area. So I propose that the system is like in South Korea. In South Korea, the Corruption Eradication Commission is only established for 8 years. The rest is integrated with Ombudsman, so we have branches all over Indonesia. Deputy Speaker Fahri Hamzah also proposed the commission to be merged with the National Human Rights Commission and Witness and Victims Protection Agency, so it will be like a commission for complaints. He feels that if there is an unsatisfactory or violating state administration, someone can make a report to the commission. The Indonesian government continues its effort to address malnutrition in Asmat Regency, Papua. The changes in the community pattern in Papua have contributed to affect malnutrition problem. In general, the people of Papua today are very dependent on the poor supply of rice from the government. This was stated by Ministry of Women Empowerment and Child Protection, Yohana Yembisia, to media after a consultation meeting between the government and House of Representatives at Parliament Building in Jakarta on Thursday. Another factor contributing to the problem of malnutrition in Asmat Regency is that the Asmat tribe's places where they live are swampy, remote and difficult areas to reach. Thus, the Ministry of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection will launch child-friendly regency program. So we may come in, especially with the declaration of the child-friendly regency, where we must pay attention to the children's right to grow and development of the children, including special protection for the children there. Malnutrition, children in school are not included in the 24 indicators under the child-friendly regency program. So, we are launching the Asmat Regency to the child-friendly regency that will involve the traditional leaders and religious leaders, including the regional apparatuses and also the communities themselves who must support the program. Minister Yohana Yembisia also explained that if the child-friendly regency program run smoothly, this will fulfill the rights of the children, such as birth certificate, education and health service. If the rights are not met, this would have violated the Convention on the Rights of the Child. The Deputy for Natural Resources and Services at the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs, Agung Kuswandono, stated that the government is optimistic to reach self-sufficiency in salt gradually. He claimed that to deal the issue with salt requires joint efforts from numerous parties. He said in Jakarta on Friday that it cannot be achieved in 1 or 2 years. The salt farmers have only cleaned and cleared the land for salt embankment. There are only a few hundreds of hectares that begin production. Agung affirmed the government wants to keep making developments to achieve self-sufficiency in salt. He also explained that the first step to reach such a goal is by becoming self-sufficient in salt for various foods. Agung emphasized that increasing salt standards has to be done gradually all the way to reach industrial scale. West Java Secretary Iwa Karniwa stated in Bandung on Friday that the government of West Java issued Gubernatorial Decree No. 1 on 2018, stipulating the implementation of one-stop integrated service. He added that the decree is intended to consolidate all permits in West Java in one go in Capital Investment and One-Stop Integrated Services Agency. Iwa also explained that the decree removed all the permits under the authority of West Java Provincial Administration. He also said that by toning down types of permits and non-permits from 232 to 197 types, there are 35 permits and non-permits removed from 19 sectors. Iwa further stated the permits were removed as they hamper efficiency. He said that with these permits ranging from recommendation and licenses gone, it result in faster rate of services and reduced workload. The last item. The government through Trade Ministry revised the growth target of non-oil and gas export from 7 to 11%. Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita stated that the increasing target is derived from optimism toward global economy and the rising process of commodities such as coal that will exert direct impact on Indonesia's export performance. Enggar Tiasto said in Jakarta on Friday that the growth rate of 11% can be achieved. Personally, he wants to set it higher. However, the government cannot really predict what's going to happen. In addition, Minister Enggar Tiasto added that throughout 2017, his ministry has made an effort to open access to markets, especially to non-traditional countries, as well as to complete international cooperation agreements, including both bilateral and multilateral agreements. Well, listener, that was the news.
News from across the country. Unique and interesting information from across Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to a weekly news from across the country, a segment which presents interesting information from various regions in a week. The first information comes from Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. The government of Gunung Kidul Regency in Yogyakarta builds Embung Batur Agung in Gedang Rejo Village, Karang Mojo Subdistrict to overcome the lack of water during the dry season and to accommodate water during the rainy season. Head of the Office of Women's Empowerment for Child and Family Planning, Village and Community Empowerment of Gunung Kidul, Sukoyo, has said that in Gunung Kidul, more recently that the development budget of Embung Batur Agung comes from the Ministry of Village Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration. He also said that the water management is still far from expected, so the water that should be a friend of farmers turned into a cause of disaster for farmers. This means that during the dry season, the rice fields are overdrawn, and during the rainy season, the rice fields are mostly full of water. While in rain feed or dry land ecosystem with uneven intensity and distribution of rain, Embung Batur Agung can be used to withstand oversupply of water and become a source of irrigation water during the dry season. Sujoko hopes that the creation of this Embung Batur Agung can increase the productivity of planting crops and farmers' income in a bid to encourage the growth of rural economy and improve the welfare of the community, especially to support community food sovereignty programs. The next information is from Manokwari, Papua. The government will build a new airport in Misol District, Raja Ampat Regency to improve the accessibility of air transport to and from the area. West Papua Governor Domingus Mandacan has said in Manokwari, West Papua, more recently that the regional government has started the process of land provision in the region. Although there will be a new airport to be built in Misol, Marinda Airport is still be used to serve small plane flights. Large planes will be directed at Misol, and Governor Domingo said that the government of Raja Ampat has started providing for airport covering 3,000 meters. The additional land is ready to provide covering 1,000 meters. He also explained that the construction of a major airport in Raja Ampat is done to support tourism programs in the area. He wishes that the number of visitors to Raja Ampat continues to increase. The last information is from Bukit Tinggi, West Sumatra. Residents in Bukit Tinggi City, West Sumatra lines up using binoculars to capture a lunar eclipse that took place on Wednesday, 31st January 9th. Binoculars are the equipment provided by the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency of Padang Panjang to observe the natural events in the yard of Jam Gadang Bukit Tinggi. The residents took turns taking the opportunity to take pictures using a mobile phone through binoculars. In addition to binoculars, BMKG also provided in-focus screen for the process of the lunar eclipse that could be witnessed by people who crowded the tourist attraction. In order not to disrupt the position of binoculars, the staff of BMKG helped photograph through binoculars using the cell phones of the visitors. Head of Geophysics Station of Padang Panjang, Rahmat Triyono, said that the observation of the total lunar eclipse in the yard of Jam Gadang was also as a means of education for the residents about the natural phenomenon. The process of eclipse has begun at 17:49 p.m., which at that time occurred the first contact between the moon and the shadow of the earth. However, this process could not be seen in the region of West Sumatra because the new moon rose at 18:28 p.m. While at different locations, Kusuf prayers were held in most in the area that were preceded by lectures and guidelines for the worship. In Bukit Tinggi, the local government concentrated on Kusuf prayer in the Grand Mosque. That was the news from across the country.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, nice to be again in our regular program Today in History over Air World Service Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for event on February 3, 1915 when Suez Canal was attacked by Germany. On February 3, 1950 in the Woodward Wand, Suez Canal, which was controlled under Britain, was attacked by Germany and Ottoman troops. The position of Suez Canal is very strategic. It connects Mediterranean and Red Ocean, so it became an object of seizure between Allies and Axis forces. Britain was worried to lose control of the Suez Canal because it would endanger its colonial territories in Asia, so Britain tried to defend the canal. Finally, Allied forces of Germany and Ottoman was defeated and under the reign of Britain until 1956. We move on next information. An earthquake hit New Zealand on February 3, 1931. The 1931 Hawke's Bay earthquake, also known as the Napier earthquake, occurred in New Zealand on 3 February, killing 256 people, injuring thousands and devastating the Hawke's Bay region. It remains New Zealand's deadliest natural disaster. Centered 15 kilometers north of Napier, it lasted for 2.5 minutes and measured magnitude 7.8 Richter scale. The main shock could be felt in much of New Zealand, with reliable reports coming in from as far as Timaru on the east of coast of South Island. The last event is that in 1944, U.S. troops invaded Marshall Island. Marshall Island had been previously under the power of Japan since 1940 in the World War I. Versailles Treaty, which ended with the World War I, decided that the islands, which was previously controlled by Germany, including Marshall, Carolina, and Mariana Islands, have to be handed over to Japan under supervision of the League of Nations. But Japan was out from the league in 1933 and made the islands Pacific Ocean as military base. During the World War II, the islands became target of Allies attack, and finally, February 3, 1944, Marshall Islands fell into the hand of the United States, which killed 400 American soldiers. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is a remote service Voice of Indonesia with My Indonesia. Today, it's entitled, This Year, the Ministry of Trade Expands Online Commerce Licensing. The Ministry of Trade plans to increase the number of trade licensing services online. The 88 online permits in 2017 will be upgraded to 55 that use digital signatures. The accessible online licensing consists of four categories, namely foreign trade licensing, domestic trade, standardization, and consumer protection, as well as commodity futures trading. In a press conference in Jakarta Wednesday 31st January, Trade Minister Enggar Tjaste Lukito said that the government this year plans to apply electronic payment in the issuance of Certificate of Origin. It is issued for Indonesian entrepreneurs who will export their products. In addition, the Ministry of Trade this year is targeting to finalize the government regulation on trade transactions through electronic systems. Minister Enggar Tjaste said this will be designed for the use of applications that, among others, to connect farmers with traders. Thus, farmers can market their products directly to consumers without going through a long supply chain. On the other hand, the government began to examine the goods sold in online stores and marketplace. The purpose of the examination is to find out whether the products are classified as domestic or imported. The Minister of Trade believes that the vast growing online sales should be utilized to increase domestic product trade. Enggar Tjaste wants offline and online trading to have the same level of playing field. According to him, online sales should open the market to small and medium enterprises products. Thus, Indonesia is not only a market for foreign products. In addition to large supply of imported goods that is more than domestic products, Enggar Tjaste also assessed the entry of goods via online vulnerable to violations in the case of import duties. Therefore, Enggar Tjaste emphasized the commitment of the Ministry of Trade that will synergize with a number of relevant ministries or agencies, such as the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, Ministry of Finance, and the Ministry of Communications and Information Technology. The Trade Minister acknowledged that the control of imported merchandises is relatively difficult given that small quantities of merchandise are traded. So now the Ministry of Trade is drafting rules to tighten online transactions and sanctions. It has also planned to rely on the role of the Directorate General of Consumer Protection and Commerce in order to detect goods that go directly into the buyer's home. That was My Indonesia Today.
Here's news in brief. Cambodia is one of the countries in Southeast Asia that has huge potential in various sectors, including pharmaceutical industry or medicine. Therefore, the Indonesian government through the Ministry of Foreign Affairs want the support from Cambodian government to make Indonesian pharmaceutical companies interested in investing in Cambodia. Indonesia and Cambodia agreed to enhance tourism and cultural cooperation. One form of the cooperation is realized through sister temple cooperation between Borobudur Temple in Magelang, Central Java, and Angkor Wat in Angkor, Cambodia. The cause of law enforcement handled by the Corruption Eradication Commission in dealing with corruption cases is very expensive. Therefore, the commission is expected to be merged with other commissions so that the performance system can be standardized and more effective. The Indonesian government continues its efforts to address malnutrition in Asmat Regency, Papua. The changes in the community pattern in Papua have contributed to attack malnutrition problem. The Deputy for Natural Resources and Services at the Coordinating Ministry for Maritime Affairs, Agung Kuswandono, stated that the government is optimistic to reach self-sufficiency in salt gradually. West Java Secretary Iwa Karniwa stated in Bandung on Friday that the government of West Java issued Gubernatorial Decree No. 1-2018 stipulating the implementation of one-stop integrated service. The last item, the government through a trade ministry revised the growth target of non-oil and gas export from 7% into 11%. Listener, that was News in Brief.
broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hey listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will take you to Gorontalo province to know more about Karawo handicraft. Stay tuned! Karawo comes from Gorontalo language, mean hand embroidery. Karawo is handicraft to decorate various kinds of clothes with transparent embroidery motif, which is made of the clothes by using plain and colorful threads. The process to make the embroidery is by slicing and repeeling the threads from ready cloth fiber. Then it is embroidered by needle with colorful threads appropriate with the pattern of motif by using hand or manually. To make one pattern of karawo embroidery needs three different persons. The first person makes the pattern by drawing on graphic paper. The second one is to slice or to unravel the thread on clothes to make karawo embroidery suitable with the pattern. The third person is the embroidery of the cloth. The making process takes around 1 week until 1 month depending on the motif and the type of the cloth. Listener, there are two types of karawo, namely common karawo and tight karawo. The embroidery of tight karawo is more expensive than the common karawo because the tight karawo uses specific thread that must be stitched among the fibers net so that the embroidery is stronger. The making process of karawo embroidery is made by women. Karawo is typical embroidery of Gorontalo province, which has been well known since 1600s. Listener, people outside Gorontalo call karawo with the name krawang. The art to make karawo or krawang is called makarawo. This art has been inherited from generation to generation since Gorontalo kingdom was still glorious. Karawo or krawang has very high value, so that no wonder if the uniqueness and quality of karawo attracts many domestic or foreign tourists. Listener, the unique making process, beautiful motif, and good quality of karawo's embroidery become special attraction for foreign tourists. One of famous motif is SBY. The motif SBY is named because at that time President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono visited Gorontalo and he wore karawo. The price of karawo is around 500,000 rupiah depending on the type of cloth. Karawo embroidery is also made for handheld fan with the price around 30,000 rupiah, and there is also veil from karawo with the price around 75,000 rupiah. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring karawo embroidery from Gorontalo province. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener, now let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Andika and Miscellany over at Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will talk about the 34th National Sports Day. Listener, on September 9, 1983, Indonesia commemorates National Sports Day for the first time. The date is chosen to recall the history to the inaugural National Sports Week. The Indonesian Sports Week started from the rejection of Indonesian athletes to participate in the 14th Summer Olympics in London, England in 1948. The reason behind the rejection was the Sports Association of the Republic of Indonesia as the official sporting body in Indonesia at that time has not been recognized as a member of the International Olympic Committee. The rejection was also due to the independence of Indonesia that had not been recognized by the world. To show the world that Indonesia is able to organize a national-scale sporting events, the Sports Association of the Republic of Indonesia decided to hold National Sports Week for the first time in Solo, Central Java, and the opening ceremony was inaugurated by the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, while the closing ceremony was conducted by the 9th Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono. The commemoration of this year's National Sports Day is centered in Magelang, Central Java. The city was chosen to host the event mainly for the existence of Mount Tidar, which is considered as the center or the middle point of Java Island. According to Deputy Assistant of the Sports Management Recreation, the Ministry of Youth and Sport, Hamka Hendranur, there is a plan to build the land and water monument in the area of Mount Tidar. The materials to build the land and water monument are taken from 90 cities or districts brought by thousands of participants Goes Pesona Nusantara from various regions. Magelang City owns water from the Sawer Drajat in Kampung Tulung, Magelang Village, and the land from Mount Tidar is the part of the materials to build the monument due to water from Tuk Drajat and sand of Mount Tidar. Listener, Hamka added that the National Sports Day commemoration is not only about ceremonial event, it also has the aim to promote the potential of Mount Tidar as tourism and sports destination. The event is also about Borobudur Temple as Indonesia's 10th main tourism destination. According to the mayor of Magelang, Sigit Widyandito, the monument contains a philosophy that reflects the city of Magelang as a symbol of the unity and harmony of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The National Sports Day event will be centered in the Muhammad Subroto Stadium in the city of Magelang. A few other activities will be organized in the Military Academy Complex in Magelang, Yogyakarta, and Temanggung Regency. Yeah, listener, that was Miss Lani for today's edition of our RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thank you for listening and see you again.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hey, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduce you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Al Ghazali. To initiate our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Kurayu Bidadari. Enjoy the song.
Aku di sini di atas awan. Aku tertawan paras cantik rupawan tak jemu-jemu. Aku memandang. Ingin ku merayu, dengarkan aku berlagu. Baru aku mengerti artinya bidadari. Sejak di hari ini jumpa kamu pasti inilah surga ku di dalam nirwana. Meskipun sementara saat kita berjumpa, sebentar lagi kita segera tiba. Lepas dari mimpiku jelang realita, menapak jejak di atas bumi ini. Akan ku kenang selalu memori. Baru aku mengerti artinya bidadari. Sejak di hari ini jumpa kamu di sini, pasti
Listener, you have just listened to the first song entitled Kurayu Bidadari sung by Al Ghazali. The song entitled Kurayu Bidadari tells about love at the first sight. Someone meets with a new person who is just known and feels falling in love. Together with the lover, it feels like in heaven with angel. Although the meeting is only temporary, the impression will be always memorized. Kurayu Bidadari is the first song which is sung solo by Ahmad Al-Ghazali Kohler. Before becoming soloist, Al-Ghazali, who was born on September 1, 1997, began his career in 2009 along with Lucky Lucky, a band which consists of Al-Ghazali and his siblings El and Dul. Finally, since he was 17 years old, Al-Ghazali has become soloist. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Lagu Galau. Enjoy the song!
Cinta itu buta dan tuli, tak melihat, tak mendengar. Namun datangnya dari hati, tidak bisa dipungkiri itu. Bilang tidak ya, bilang tidak ya. Mau bilang sayang tapi bukan pacar. Tembak tidak ya.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Al-Ghazali. NZT in the song entitled Lagu Galau is presented differently by Al-Ghazali. If anxiety is meant said by Indonesian teenager, Al-Ghazali presents it as confusing, because the songs tell about someone who wants to express love but doubt and fear. Success is easy to be achieved, while Al-Ghazali, due to his typical voice which looks like his father's voice, Ahmad Dhani, a famous Indonesian musician. In addition to music, Al-Ghazali also gets many offers to star various kinds of advertising and movies. In October 2017, Al-Ghazali announced that he leaves singing world. Al-Ghazali wants to focus and to develop his career as composer and disc jockey. Listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Amnesia and Bilang Dulu Pacarmu. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Percaya ini telah terjadi. Kau tersenyum mesra dan genggam tangannya. Siapakah dia yang bersamamu? Bukankah diriku ini masih kekasihmu? Ku hampiri, ku tanya apa yang terjadi. Sedangkan kau ku dan mengelak tak kenaliku. Kau pungkiri dari semua pertanyaanku. Mestinya ku marah, malah ku terlihat bersalah. Apa kau amnesia? Apa kau amnesia? Terus kerutkan kening dan geleng kepala. Tak percaya
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Harusnya kamu tahu saat ku bilang kamu harusnya lebih tahu. Kau menarik di mataku, tapi sabarku menunggu. Karena kamu berdua pacarmu, dua kali bertemu. Kamu tanpa pacarmu, ku coba dekatimu, langsung bilang I love you. Bertekencang jantungku, menunggu apa jawabmu. Kau bilang kau mau, you say I love you too. Bilang dulu pacarmu, kau mau jalan sama aku. Tiga kali bertemu, kau sudah jadi milik. Pedulikan mantanmu, ke laut aja katamu. Aku menang kali ini, akhirnya jadi milikku. Oh ayah ayah,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Selalu, kau tak istimewa. tapi cinta yang aku punya adalah cinta yang sempurna, sempurna yang aku punya.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.